And greetings from BBS Radio, where truth and news still exist in that old original form. You're tuned into The Spiritual Politician, the show that shows you where politics, government, and selfishness went wrong. I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster, your host for this hour of personal revival and rethinking, aimed at making each of us more responsible, more cooperative, and more aware of the spiritual bonds that connect us, no matter what we find to squabble over. Now, you can call us toll-free from the U.S. to 877-876-5227. You can call from Canada to 888-810-8322. Or, if you are inclined, you can call us direct to 530-876-3222. This show is carried online, and you may also be able to get it on the air in your local area. To find out if an old-fashioned on-the-air station in your area carries this show, you just contact us at bbsradio.com.
Oh, she's calling me and she can't.
The website for this show can be found on the BBS Radio site and at spiritualpolitician.blogspot.com. All past shows become available as soon as it is humanly or even extra-humanly possible on the station archives. Now, my blog site is titled How the Neocons Stole Freedom, and is conveniently located at howtheneoconsstolefreedom.blogspot.com. The story this week is also the topic we're going to take up with our guest tonight, and that is the shocking progress of House Bill 1955 through Congress, which means to us Americans and to the future of the country something so ghastly, so shocking, so unthinkable that you really do need to think about it. Are you ready to be labeled as a terrorist or a gang member by someone whose grandfather planned a military takeover of the United States? Would you like to be called a gangbanger by someone who had a close relationship with Adolf Hitler? The people who presently occupy the White House are looking for tools to complete a transition that they have had planned for America for a long time, and that is a transition to fascism. So, if you have not yet done so, give the thought police a real thought. It may scare you, but you do need to know. And now, just for a break, we're going to have some nice news from the Ron Paul campaign. Ron appeared last Friday at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa, at the ISU Lecture Series, open to all students. There were 700 people in attendance, occupying 350 chairs. It was packed. My report from the campaign headquarters in Iowa said that organizers had to open the big sliding door so more people could come in. Time, the Pittsburgh Tribune, MSNBC were all in attendance. The audience was excited. They wanted to learn, and informal polling by the RP staff projected that well over half of them actually already knew who Ron was. Volunteers were signed up during and after the campaign. A press conference afterwards with everybody sitting around the table was respectful. MSNBC gave them a great article. From there, Ron rode into Des Moines on Saturday to meet with pastors and homeschoolers. Chuck Baldwin opened the event, making lengthy remarks. And then Ron spoke, and that broke up the crowd. Afterwards, the two answered questions from the press for a half an hour. From there, Ron went on to a $500 plate fundraiser that was sold out. At 3, they moved into the mainstream for a rally for America at the Iowa Historical Museum. All chairs were filled and people were standing to listen. That evening, they had a GOP Reagan dinner. This is the first time a set of hardcore GOP activists had heard Ron in Iowa. Along with Huckabee and Tancredo, one of Romney's wives was there to speak for him. Must be nice to have so many people to stand in for you. Afterwards, supporters congregated in a separate room. It filled up with supporters and activists who had been supporting other candidates. Iowa was energized when the weekend came to a close, but on Tuesday it got even better. After the Leno show, the phones lit up with even more people calling for information on the only candidate who can save America from the Bush-Clinton serial monarchy. So the campaign continues to grow in all dimensions. And now, an indicator in the news that you need to know about. Two dead in Mississippi gas line explosion. An explosion in a propane pipeline started a blaze that killed two people, destroyed four homes, and burned more than 150 acres in southeastern Mississippi. The explosion on the Dixie pipeline about 10:30 a.m. Thursday also injured four people. Residents in a one-mile area surrounding the blast were evacuated. Clark County Sheriff Todd Kemp said it is not clear when displaced families would be able to return to their homes. The fire, which covered about a quarter square mile, was still burning early Friday, and officials plan to let it burn out, Kemp said. The pipeline is owned by Dixie Pipeline Company of Houston, Texas. Engineers and inspectors from the Petal Office Enterprise Products were on the scene Friday to try and determine the exact cause of the blast. We'll have to wait for the fire to burn itself out before a more thorough investigation can be attempted, said Enterprise Products Manager Sammy Figspine. Dixie Pipeline Senior Vice President Leonard Mallett said the company's gauges indicate that pipeline rupture was an immediate catastrophic event and it is unlikely that there was a lingering leak. There's no evidence of tampering, he said. And the story goes on from there. The real story here is the fact that transporting petroleum products is hazardous to all of us and represents a risk for those who profit but do not pay. We pay. The fire still burning in California sent exactly the same message to each of us. And we will soon see liquid natural gas imported off California and New England. But before the companies involved spent a dime of their own money, they followed the example of the electric companies and zeroed out their potential liabilities for any accidents. Now, don't you wish you could do that? That'd be kind of nice. You wouldn't have to have car insurance, would you? Now, you might wonder why liquid natural gas, your electric bill, and a gas explosion mesh. It's like this. Each of these is presented as something you must buy to simply exist. It's not the way it was for our ancestors, and that's really something we need to change for our descendants. And now some thoughts for the week ahead. This week we're confronting the fact that the Bush-Clinton political serial monarchy has hit the fast forward on the road they have paved, intending to take us from freedom to fascism. They are on that road, but at any point we can decide to turn off and change direction. To do that, we need to see the hazards ahead, and today we're going to talk about one of those hazards. House Bill 1955 is yet another tool in their hands to enforce their will and keep us in line. And that is a harsh fact, but one that gives each of us the opportunity to confront who we really are. Along with the threat comes the opportunity for each of us to face our own fears and inner conflicts, reshaping that internal framing in which we live. We always have the freedom to choose. Each of us lives in a frame of reality limited only by what we believe, what we think, and our own ability to innovate. More is possible to you than you could possibly imagine. We're used to seeing the world as static, but it's always in motion. We're used to seeing limits where there's actually untapped potential. Finding those potentials is in each of us. Recently, we heard from Sheriff Richard Mack, one of the proponents for the Mack decision that affirmed the right of the sheriff and a county to order the feds out. Now, think about that for a moment. If every sheriff in America did that, ordered the feds out because they were violating our constitutional rights, where would the federal government stand? D.C. is a pretty small place, huh? That's not rhetoric. That's reality. The Bush-Clinton serial monarchy, which is poised to continue in control of America and us on behalf of the corporations who employ them, wants you to stay in their frame on the road to fascism. It's time to examine the road signs, because you can change that. All human frames are just perception, enforced only by our own choices. Look at the world as it really is. Accept it, and then choose differently. And now, a little something about our guest tonight. Louise de Maurier is an actress, a political consultant, and activist who will discuss why America will act for freedom. She got her start in the entertainment industry in the long-running series MASH, and from there went on to a career as an inventor and in politics as a consultant. Freedom of speech is a real issue for Louise, and she and I will be comparing our DAR credentials after the show tonight. Please welcome Louise de Maurier Louise, are you there?
How are you doing, Linda?
I am doing just fine, and how are you doing today?
We're doing good, and on the run like normal. We are currently traveling to a Ron Paul event as a concert to Take Back America. If we don't do something, something you said hits home, and that is, one, these people think they have everyone under a banner of law, and they don't, because they're making their own laws. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the laws that we are, laws of our land. And if we don't take that back, who's to blame? Are we to blame them? We need to be activists. Every single one in America, and it isn't Democrat, it's not Republican, it's not independent. We need to find those people in our society who say, no, you have no rights, and then stand up and make a difference. But I also believe that just because of what they're doing to us will make activists, the very people they're trying to hold down, may not have noticed them yet, but once they start pushing that button, everyone's going to be an activist.
Amen. That is so, so, so true, which is one of the things, of course, I want us to talk about tonight. And the thing, of course, that brought this up was House Bill 1955.
Mm-hmm. And the Senate, by the way, a news from the Senate, they have had a little bit of people yelling, and they really don't know what to do with it yet. So it's on the back burner for a short time. Because
so
we were able to get a lot of people yelling.
Well, that's important to do, and I think that people don't actually understand. When I went and took a look at the wording of this bill, there were chills down my spine.
And it should. It should. In America, you should be able, well, let's go back. Do you remember a man named Philip Nolan?
Yes.
A man without a country.
Yes.
Now, our Constitution was this gentleman in mind. Because he disagreed, spoke out against the king, against our president, if you will, the king at the time, the government as such, he was sent out to drift, was not allowed to land on anybody's shores, a man without a country. Now, how many of us are going to be that way because you don't agree? How many shows already now have been desensitized because only one version of the news can come out? The Rupert Murdoch owns what? Oh, how many newspapers? How many radio stations? How many television stations? So you get one man's opinion overall. If we don't stand up and say no, this. How many people? Are you going to be over McDonald's, or is someone going to arrest you? Are they going to talk to your children in school, like in Hitler, the Hitler Youth?
Well, they're already doing that, actually.
Yes, but I mean to the point of saying, telling your mother, telling your father what they said, and then the police show up. And what we're not talking about is real ID. We're not talking about the NAIS, National Animal Identification. Every farmer, everybody with a couple of chickens, they're going to be in major trouble if they move their animals from one field to the next.
Now, that is bizarre, and I'm sure that most Americans don't know that that's now the law.
If we do not stop this, everybody will have to have their animals tagged with an RFID signal. That RFID signal is being tracked by a big satellite. If you move your animals from one field to the next without reporting within 24 hours, Homeland Security says you've committed a crime.
Oh, my
now,
God.
How many Americans have a couple of chickens, maybe a ferret, or a domestic pet? Okay, right now it's geared towards chickens, ducks, sheep, lamb, whatever. But believe me, everyone with a dog, watch out. Everyone with a cat, watch out. Because they know how to expand. One thing the government does very, very well, it expands.
Of course, what that would do is there are a lot of people who simply, I mean, they just simply aren't going to believe it, and they're not going to comply. And then we're going to be in a state of what you would think of as sort of insurrection.
Yes, it's a revolution. And you know what, Melinda? Something you said to me on the phone made me think when I was searching for music that kind of showed what was happening in our culture. Go on YouTube and look up Revolution. on any video, on the music. Go look. All over the world, our youth or adults are writing songs about revolution.
They are.
So what does that mean? Think about this. What does that mean? All over the world, people are realizing this globalized government is destroying the freedoms that are in every country, not just ours.
They are, absolutely. I mean, we've taken aim at the whole world.
So I would say for everyone out there who's listening, don't sit down anymore. And if you have to sit, use your computer. Use your phone. You call everyone you know. You get on everybody's email list. Send it out. You talk to the radio station, the TV stations. And by the way, on the micro networks, send it, for everybody out there, put up a transmitter and a broadcast antenna. Everyone in town can hear these little stations because they're the voice of the people. And it's about time people realize their vote does count. Their voice does count as long as we make it count.
Amen. And that's one of the things, of course, we all have to do. We have to start taking a look at how most locally we can take back the opinion and inform people because they've done everything they can to keep us ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, I don't know how many people know how hard Melinda works to move the people in the right direction to innovate. I told you a couple times that you're the guy that puts it all together. You're the glue that assembles everybody in their little pockets.
Well, hey, thank
wonderful.
You. But yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, you're one of the people I admire because I have seen your passion and I know what it is you actually do that I know you don't necessarily want everybody to know about, but it's fantastic.
Well, there are people who are behind the scenes, there are people who are in front.
That's right. And it really doesn't matter in the final, you know, when they tally up the final score because we know what we're doing and we know why we're doing it. And that's just so true. Now, I mentioned when I was introducing you that you had an interesting personal history and you had actually been in MASH. And, of course, that's a while ago now, of course. We all know that. But would you like to tell our viewers just a little bit about yourself personally? Hello? Have we lost you? Now, she did tell us that she was going to that she was on the road, so we could have actually lost Louise just a little bit. And that's sort of scary, you know. That's one of the things that, you know, hosts really don't like to have happen because it's very scary when you get alone, left alone on your radio show. But we are here to talk about something that we do need to know about. And I'm going to hope that my engineer hears me and then calls Louise back because that is how we handle these things. But if that doesn't happen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on because I actually did study this subject to some extent. And I'm going to read you some parts right now about this act. It's House Resolution 1955. It was passed by the House, the 110th Congress, on October 24th. And that act is called the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007. Now let's think about that for a minute. Doesn't seem like that's such a bad thing. I mean, nobody wants other people to be violent, do they? We don't want to be violent ourselves. We don't want anyone else to be violent. And so it doesn't seem like that would be really such a bad thing that they would prevent that. But now, hold on. Let's look at this for a second. Have you noticed a lot of people running out there and being violent when they, you know, we're doing something political? I haven't noticed that. I have to say that this last round of protests with people going out and objecting to a war, which you'd have to say is a sort of violent enterprise, haven't been violent at all. They've actually held up signs. They have sort of let themselves be arrested, which has happened rather much too often, I would have to say. And they have then, you know, gotten themselves out of jail. They've written, they've been on the internet. Let me read you some of the definitions that we have here, because I think they're kind of interesting. For purposes of this subtitle, commission. The term commission means the National Commission on the Prevention of Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism, established under Section 8996. They always put a lot of numbers in there to try to confuse you. Two, violent radicalization. The term violent radicalization means the process of adopting or promoting an extremist belief system for the purpose of facilitating ideologically based violence in to advance political, religious, or social change. Three, homegrown terrorism. The term homegrown terrorism means the use, planned use, or threatened use or violence by a group or individual born, raised, or based. Hold on just a second, because is Louise calling me. Just a second. Evidently it wasn't. Don't you just hate those telemarketers? Individual born, raised, or based, operating primarily within the United States or any possession of the United States to intimidate or coerce the United States government, the civilian population of the United States, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. Ideologically based violence. The term ideologically based violence means the use, planned use, or threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual to promote the group or individual's political, religious, or social beliefs. Now, notice that for a minute. To promote the individual's political, religious, or social belief. Now, what do they mean by violence? If it's the threat of violence, like we're really angry and we're going to go picket, they haven't actually been very good about the way they looked at definitions. And you can see them sort of, you know, trying to edit, which is kind of an alarming thing to notice in your government, especially when they actually do own all of the guns pretty much. And the Congress finds the following. The development and implementation of methods and processes that can be utilized to prevent violent radicalization, homegrown terrorism, and ideologically based violence in the United States is critical to combating domestic terrorism. Now, you notice when we had 9/11, there was an event. I mean, people did actually fly airplanes into the Twin Towers. That was a very violent act and killed thousands of people. Have you noticed any violence, any terrorism act that would cause us to have a degree of alarm about the present tense that would make this sort of thing necessary? I mean, has anybody invaded your neighborhood and done anything, engaged in any terrorist activity that seemed to cause a problem for you? I mean, did they camp out on your front lawn and burn something there? Did something like that happen to you? I don't think that this sort of thing is actually going on in the United States. Certainly not by us. There have been many, many reports of violence of late, but those reports of violence actually, if you take a look at them, seem more to be associated with police. You're seeing many, many reports. For instance, the woman who was in the wheelchair who was tasered to death by the police because she had a knife. I don't know exactly what kind of knife. It sort of looked like a butter knife to me. But if a woman is sort of, you know, trapped in a wheelchair because she can't move, do you think that that woman would represent much of a danger to you? So that does give you pause, doesn't it? And I would have to point out here the very clear parallels between this sort of activity with, we're obviously, what we're talking about is people in power, not trusting people who aren't in power to behave themselves, even though you really can't see a lot of incidences where Americans haven't behaved themselves appropriately and been nonviolent with each other, and deciding that they need all these more tools and to spend all this more money to control us is really what it comes down to. Now, if you go on the very nice site called governmenttrack.us, tracking the 110th United States Congress, one of the things you see that's really interesting is you see the cost. Because, you know, we talk about passing these things, but every time you pass one of these things, a bill, it always means that there's going to have to be somebody who pays the piper. And the cost for this is going to be $1 per American over the 2008-2012 period. That's actually quite a bit of money when you think about it, since there's millions and millions and millions of us. And I assume that that's actually a dollar per year. So in this period of time, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be paying, each of us is going to be paying so that they can watch us to make sure that we do not behave like terrorists. Now, when you go back and you take a look at the bill, one of the interesting things that you see is that they consider things like what you do on the Internet to be something that could be a step toward terrorism. And that certainly also gives us pause for thought, doesn't it? I mean, you go online and you're angry about, my gosh, you know, my next door neighbor, his fruiter's hanging over on my thing, and I'm so mad I could just beat him over the head. Well, that's a threat of violence. Let's just think about that. Of course, that's not exactly ideological, but what they're talking about. Now, who is it that we're going to be trusting to decide what is a threat of violence and what is potentially violent radicalism and what isn't? Because we have this wonderful thing that's been this tradition for Americans called the First Amendment. And what the First Amendment is about, your ability to say whatever it is you want to talk about. Hold on for just a second. Maybe that's Louise. After that short hiatus, now we're back with our guest, and that is Louise DeMaurier, and we are discussing House Bill 1955, which is taking America from freedom to fascism. And I know you've heard that expression before. So where were we, Louise?
Get its coined name. Use it. It is the Homeland Terrorism Bill.
Yeah, and that's to terrify us.
Mm-hmm. You are correct, Melinda.
Yes, and I have to tell you, Louise, as I think I have mentioned, that the first time I had an inkling that the sort of thing was in the offing was at my local National Federation of Republican Women meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the local sheriff there to discuss how we were, you know, people who had ideological opinions and went out and expressed them were actually terrorists who were like gang members.
Including churches, guys, including churches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So you don't have freedom of religion. You have no freedom of speech. With the Real ID added to this little thing in the Patriot Act, you can't buy your gun, your bullets, a knife, or anything else. Safety or whatever. Even cell phones are easy on that because you can use them to trigger a bomb. So you're a terrorist no matter what. And auto gun registration, auto everything registration with Real ID. The minute you purchase a product, your RFID will be downloaded in the system exactly what you bought. That includes food. Now, if they're selling this information, which our state and our federal government does quite well, if you eat too much, you drink too much, you smoke too much, your insurance company, I'm sure, will know. And you will up your rate or cancel you altogether.
Yeah, that sounds like a science fiction story that I wrote once.
Ironically, it's a whole lot like very Orwellian in nature, but it's a fact. And by the way, it was brought to us, you'll love this, by a six-year-old girl who was a homeschooler out in the middle of nowhere in farm country who loved C-SPAN and watched the vote for the Real ID. House Resolution 418. Which, ironically, I couldn't believe a child of 6 years old were, watching, let alone understanding. But she thought that when she contacted everybody, that they were going to fix it because there's no way in her America. So one day, we're going to look for that young girl as possibly president.
That sounds fantastic. That's amazing. But
how do we change it, Melinda? In my world, we just... You push through, and in my world, people have unalienable rights granted by their creator. Okay? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we have to do? We have to stop acting within their framework and start acting with our own framework. Because we do have a very different framework.
We should let people here know about Representative Jim Guest in Missouri. What he's doing, he is the founder of LARI, Legislators Against Real ID, and the Committee for America's Freedom. That you can contact the representative at 660-535-6664. And the reason why is because we need to make sure that anyone and everyone knows that Americans will always be free in America. And at this point, with the Patriot Act, FISA, how about we didn't even talk about FISA, all leading up to this grand American Terrorist Act. What is wrong with it? And by the way, anyone who says that Democrats are somehow immune to this, Democrats put this one through.
Yes, they did. And I think that actually just, and I had a very interesting experience today. I called up a friend of mine who is an activist. He actually is living in the Washington, D.C. area, and he's over on Capitol Hill all the time. And he didn't even know that this bill existed.
You are correct. Some people didn't know it was happening.
They just kind of mushed it in there.
Well,
nobody was paying attention whatsoever.
Thank you.
Anyway, we just arrived at the Ron Paul concert, the Freedom Concert for Ron Paul. And by the way, for anyone out there, whoever wants to go to the Uptown Theater, it is a beautiful place, and they have been so good to Ron Paul. They have opened their doors multiple times. And by the way, these young men are normally Democrats.
Are they?
Yes. And when you stop to think, whether you are a Democrat or Republican or you're independent, on a wave, Melinda. See, they want us to think that our idea is somehow wrong. But it's not. People are angry. People just don't know what to do. And people have been conditioned to say, we can't fight the federal government. The federal government is only, and that's, I'll draw that line in the sand, guys, the federal government is only that one step above the state. and not because we put them there, I mean the states, you did. You allowed. We allowed through federal grants, we allowed through federal funding, whether it's for roads, for tornadoes. When we build our houses next to the ocean, I know I was one of those culprits too way back when, and FEMA has to dig us out. And when we decide that we want to go ahead and then something else happens and we want to get a federal grant for this one, a federal grant for that, any government is big enough to give you everything you want in money is big enough to take it away.
And that's exactly what, of course, they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true. They are. They're taking away everything. And Americans, unfortunately, don't seem capable of noticing right now because they keep hoping that this is just a bobble and it'll all even out.
They think it's going to go away.
They do. They absolutely do.
But I warn you, anyone, I myself as a little Jewish girl from New York originally, grew up in sunny California, and I do miss the ocean. Guys, you can send some in a bottle. But for hints, okay, every dictator, the way these dictators became dictators is they took away the people's rights and made them be counted. They made them come in, they made them register, and they used that register to kill them. They used it to enslave them. If we continue allowing the governments anywhere, but especially here in America, to continue destroying our jobs, because that's what they've done. There's a song that says "Take Back America," and we should really, really somebody should listen to that because the man was very, very dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, our NAFTA, our CAFTA, and every one of these wonderful trade agreements they've come up with are wrong. Our immigration policies are wrong. Whether it's having illegals coming into our country, and the fact that we're setting them up to do so. And somebody said it's because we're giving too many health care and what have you. No, our companies are south of the border, and they're getting $5 a day and living in shoeboxes. The water is being polluted and destroyed, and all the jobs are going to China. And currently, at the southern tip of Mexico is a Chinese port being built to bring all those wonderful jobs in through here, and with that, a new road, a brand new highway bringing all those goods straight up to the heartland of America. And it's called the NAFTA Super Corridor.
That's right.
People call it the NAFTA Super Highway. And when we talk about H.R. 1955, we're talking about that.
And that it really is. It's all of a piece, isn't it?
That's right. And let's not separate. Whether it's NAFTA, whether it's real ID, immigration, be careful, people, because it's the same animal. They're doing everything they can to control Americans, so they can do this globalized government, they can make this massive one-world order. Okay, and if you think this is sci-fi, start looking it up. And I'm talking about you can go right to the White House. Look how many executive orders this president has done to keep you under control. Not anybody else, and not a terrorist.
No.
You.
And the whole idea of terrorism and the way that they've done this, you can take it all the way back to World War One. What they did is they demonized people, and then they use it as a means for suppressing dissent. They did that
and
during
taxation.
World War One. They did it during World War Two.
Yeah. We forgot taxation.
Yeah.
That's when our wonderful tax system came into being, and we didn't know that it was only temporary, and they have had a stay on that forever.
That's right. That was only supposed to be a temporary tax, and people, I bet you're not going to find 5% of the population today that knows that.
Mm-hmm. And let's go one step even farther than that. We are the largest producing country. We have the largest amount of people incarcerated in jail. And it has become a career. Jail has become a place to store people so someone can get money in their town. Now, we need to take it back. One, we're pushing in every state a work restitution bill. For people who haven't done anything but minor offenses or nonviolent offenses, let's put them to work, okay? The family isn't on welfare. They're not incarcerated, which all costs you money. And remember, people, some guy went a little bit too fast or didn't pay his child support. He's not paying it in prison, but he's learning things he ought not to learn, okay? So we need to start getting smart in America and start producing our jobs at home, stop incarcerating everybody and making everything a crime.
Yeah, but now let's go on to why they do that. They make it crime so they can make money off of it.
That's absolutely, absolutely. Every place needs a prison because that's how they're making money for the town.
Okay. Yeah, and let's look at this for just a second this way. If they're looking at you and figuring out how they can convert you into cash they can put in your pocket, what does that make you? Makes you a side of beef that just isn't consumed yet.
And not even beef. Go. Get down to the little crustaceans, girl. Okay? But, you know, how about America? Why aren't we waking up and seeing this? How many people are working and working and working, and they're not getting any better? They're not doing any better.
They're doing worse.
That's right.
I know people now who are working 3 or 4 or 5 jobs. They never get they hardly ever see their families. They are frantic. They're trying to keep their house from being foreclosed on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not making it anyway.
And it's not being showed because all these people are on credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, people, anyone out there who have their new, and many states are doing this, their new contactless RFID credit cards or ATMs. Okay, let you know the guy next door to you can zap your card and empty your account. And when we were in quite a few little meetings with different people on this, they tried to show us different, and I showed them exactly how it worked. Now, ask any kid at any tech school how easy they can download your information and empty your account. And when they said, well, yeah, that's true, it's a minor inconvenience for the people, but the reason they didn't put it on actual credit cards, is because the bank would lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm telling everybody to watch it. This movement to RFIDs, biometric imaging. We didn't talk about this. 2D barcodes on driver's license. The storage capacity. You were talking about the entire state of California can fit on a 2D barcode. Now, why would that, if they just wanted to know the stuff on the front of your card, why would they have to have that much storage? Well, Homeland Security's answer to that was, the 1D barcode only can hold 13 characters, but your driver's license only has 11. So, no matter what, they could still store it. But they think people are stupid. It's time the people learned.
Well, we have to.
We don't care if Britney Spears cuts her hair, and we don't care if Anna Nicole took drugs. We need to take care of our country. We need to take care of our jobs. We need to take care that we take back our country. We need a small federal government, strong middle-class state governments. We need a large, active population of citizens fighting back. This isn't to arms. This isn't to war with guns and what have you. This is with the smarts. Use your brain.
That's right. Absolutely.
I love what you say there. Get off the grid.
Yes, absolutely. And getting off the grid makes a huge difference because what happens when we get off the grid is, of course, every penny that we don't spend on them, every penny that we keep ourselves, is money that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's ours.
I heard today a gentleman told me that he's looking to put together a banking system for people who don't want to be part of the FDIC.
Really?
Okay, yes. And I was really surprised at the phone call. The gentleman called me from Wisconsin, and I was thinking, what a great thing. That is actually homegrown rebuilding our country. And the barter system, growing plants and vegetables and sharing them, community gardens. You know, whatever happened to time that we were all together and assimilated, we are destroying our country. We're destroying, and this isn't a white, a black, an Asian, a Hispanic. This is none of that. This is American.
Amen. And it's the sort of thing where, you know, even though it's horrible, someday we may look back on this and say, well, thank goodness we woke up, and that was why we woke up, because we came so close to losing everything.
Because yeah, you can be correct.
Americans
really
are looking at that,
we are there. If we do not stop it now, we are there.
Mm-hmm.
America better wake up. By the way, I'm here at the concert right now.
tell us about what's going on at the conference, because I know.
No, it hasn't started yet. We're just loading up the band, getting the bands in. We just arrived. We're a little late because, of course, I have no life.
I know. Neither do I.
And, well, you know what? And we're not the only ones. But, you know, I have something to ask you. How many people do we know who says, well, they're working 24 hours a day almost at their jobs, and they can't do a lot. But you know what they can do?
What?
Support your station, support people who are fighting back.
That's true.
They tend to get off the grid. Okay?
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing where the rubber really meets the road, because when they make that decision that they're going to get off the grid, they're going to stop buying their electricity from the electric company and finding a way of generating it themselves. And that, of course, is one of the things we're working on, is finding ways that people can do that right now and cheaply. And they do these other things. They institute those changes in their lives. Then where we go is we go to a place where they have a place where they can stand, and they're then living freedom the way we were meant to live it.
Oh, the young man's holding the door for me. Yes, that's exactly right. And you know what really works really, really good? You'll love this, okay? The one biggest thing you can do for every American, and that is get involved. Learn what your government's doing to you. Learn what politicians, and don't go by the name of the bill. They are wonderful for saying it's the family values bill. But when you really look in, there's no family, there's no values, and it's there to destroy you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Dig in. Okay? They don't think anyone's going to read 1,000 pages. I know I read them.
I know you do, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, anyway. But listen, I am going to have to go get ready for the concert, and it's the Ron Paul concert at the Uptown Theater in Kansas City, Missouri, by the way.
How many people look like... Do they have expectations about how many people are going to be there?
I'm not sure. Okay? But I'll tell you, anyone who comes to Kansas City has to come to the Uptown Theater. They've restored this. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And they have been so wonderful for the movements of promoting literacy in politics.
That's an amazing idea, the idea of literacy in politics, so that people
mm-hmm.
actually know what's going on.
That's right. Get her done, guys.
Get her done. Amen. Get her done.
Yeah, Melinda,
will you say hello to everybody there for us tonight?
I sure will.
And say hi to...
Later on, I'm gonna call you up, and then people can talk to you and what have you.
Yes.
Okay?
Well, you take care. God bless. And... Say hi to the bands for me.
And Annie, as I said, when it comes to real ID and all those issues that we were talking about, and the HR 1959,
uh-huh.
Everyone, Representative Jim Guest in Missouri has been on the forefront of trying to stop what's been going on. The number is 660-535-6664. And let's take back our country now. No time to wait.
Amen.
Melinda,
thank you so much, and
Melinda,
say hi to Jim for me.
And Melinda, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the station who's airing you. Thank you, the people who are listening. Now get out there. We're the army.
Amen.
Our army is our computers. Our army is our phones. Our army are our fax, our letters. Get it done.
Amen. You got
Bye-bye.
God bless, and you have a wonderful time.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now. I'm going to give you a little bit more information about this bill and some things that you can do to keep this bill from actually moving into law, because 1955 has not yet been ratified by the Senate, and they're starting to get some heat. People are starting to wake up and understand, and we still have time to stop this one. Now, this bill in the House was sponsored by Representative Jane Harman, a Democrat from California. Her co-sponsors were Christopher Carney, Democrat, Pennsylvania, Donna Donna Christensen, Democrat, Virginia. Yvonne Clark, Democrat, New York. Charles Dent, Republican, Pennsylvania. Norman Dix, Democrat, Washington. Al Green, Democrat, Texas. James Langvin, Democrat, Rhode Island. Zoe Lofgren, Democrat, California. Nita Lowry, Democrat, New York. Daniel Lundgren, Republican, California. Ed Perlmutter, Democrat, Colorado. Ted Poe, Republican, Texas. Dave Reichert, Republican, Washington. Bernie Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi. And I want you to hear a very shameful fact. 404 members of Congress, 95%, voted for this bill. What does that tell you about the Congress that's representing us today? That's something you need to think about. It's something all of these people have voted to take America to a fascism that none of us ever believed possible. And that you need to remember, and that they need to be held accountable for, because this bill violates the Constitution, and in voting for this bill, every one of these people has violated and destroyed the oath that they took to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And what that means is that they need to be removed. They need to be removed at the next election. They need to be removed and replaced with people who are going to vote their conscience, that are going to respect your rights and my rights as Americans to live free. And that's our show for today, Friday, November 2nd, 2008. When you know the truth will set you free. And when you really have the truth, you can get your energy free, too. On this show, as we do with all our shows, we end by reading the section of the Declaration of Independence that is America's mission statement. This remains where we want to go today. It's up to each of us to ensure we reach the destination. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for life and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the mission statement of America, the thing that precedes the Constitution and remains more important than anything else ever written about what America means. This is Melinda Pillsbury Foster coming to you from BBS Radio. God bless the journey that brings us to freedom eventually. And may God be with you every step of the way. Good night.